I recently came to the realization that I had frozen my age in my mind to within a year or two of graduating high school. Despite my current age of 27, that's right, please call me Janelle and not Mrs. B. That is only for Mr. B. I think I had myself somewhere around 19 or 20. My graduation, it really did seem like recent history to me. I have no idea where the breakdown occurred. I have been married now for almost 6 years. I have two beautiful little girls. But my confusion was recently dispelled when my husband received a letter in the mail informing him of his 10-year high school reunion. Mike and I graduated the same year. So reality finally sunk in for me. You simply cannot be recently graduating high school and receiving letters about your 10-year high school reunion. So I have some years on you girls. We are in different seasons of life, and our daily lives look very different. But there's one thing that we all have in common, and there's one way that everyone in this room can completely relate to one another. And that is the fact that each of us here are daily facing the seduction of a fallen world. Sin and temptation, they are no respecters of age or season of life. From the youngest here to the oldest here, we are all facing the same sin and temptation. And our topic this evening, it relates to a very common temptation to women, and it relates to every single one of us in this room. Tonight, your pastors have asked me to take a closer look at the topic of modesty. Now, I'm fully aware that the topic of modesty may not be everyone's topic of choice. Modesty may even be a word you don't really like to think about. I know that it's hard to resist the world's temptations when it comes to clothing and when it comes to the topic of modesty. I remember high school. I remember spending many hours shopping only to return home and have my dad inform me that what I had bought needed to be returned to the store. There was a temptation for me to respond sinfully. There were tears at times. It's not easy. It wasn't easy to hear my dad say no to me. And 10 years later, if I was going to be completely honest with you, I would have to tell you that modesty is still something that I wrestle with in my soul. I enjoy shopping. I enjoy it a lot. And I'm often tempted to anger and sometimes even to despair when it seems like everything that I like just isn't modest. The voice of the world is loud, isn't it? It's loud. And we are bombarded from every side with its definition of beautiful. We are, each of us here, in a battle. We wake up every morning in a war zone. And resisting the seduction of a fallen world is a difficult task. Each of us here know that. It is a difficult task. And I want you to know I'm not here tonight to impose my personal preference on you. I am not here to tell you that you should dress the way that I tell you to, or the way that someone else might think you should dress. I'm also not here to push you into some kind of covenant life way of doing things when it comes to the clothes that you wear. And as I was preparing, I wanted to stop for a moment. The Lord laid it on my heart to quickly talk about that phrase, covenant life way. It's a phrase that I feel like I've been hearing a lot more over the years to describe modesty and other practices. What does that really mean when we hear someone say that? You know, we'll be in a conversation talking about dressing a certain way or talking about, maybe we're talking about music or relating to parents. Well, that's just how they do it at Covenant Life. What does that really mean when we're saying that? Here's where I think that idea comes from. Sometimes we get so used to hearing about something, we can actually forget where it came from. Isn't that true? Modesty, I think, often falls into that category. We hear the topic of modesty mentioned at different meetings. We don't even stop to consider where it originated. Where did the concept of modesty even originate? I can often not even stop and consider how it applies to me personally. We assume it's just the way things are done around here. Some of you may even assume that it's just the pastor's personal preference or my personal preference. But modesty, and this is what I want to talk to you about tonight, it's the clear teaching of Scripture. It's not a unique preference of CLC. And we can't dismiss the topic of modesty as simply a CLC practice. It's a wise command of God for our good. That puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it? It's a wise command of God for our good. I'm not passionate about modesty because I've heard about it for so many years. I'm not here tonight to appeal to you because I'm scared that you might be taken in by the CLC way of doing things. That's not why Dave asked me here to speak to you tonight. The reason we're spending a whole evening just talking about modesty is because God in His Word has told us that it's important. God in His Word has told us that it's important. And Dave and the other pastors, they have a responsibility and they have a passion to help each of you walk in obedience to God's Word and bring glory to Him. So if you found yourself tempted to dismiss modesty or any other practice for that matter as simply the covenant life way of doing things, let me encourage you, study God's Word. Ask Him to give you a conviction that comes from Scripture. He will be gracious to answer that prayer. Because the truth is, ladies, all of us are being shaped and all of us are being molded. The question becomes, who or what is molding us? Are you being molded by the world's standards and definitions of immodesty, or does Holy Scripture shape your practice? Now, let me briefly make one more important qualifier to what we're discussing tonight, because I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. It's important to know that the passage that we will be looking at shortly in 1 Timothy regarding this topic, it's written to the believer. Paul is speaking to genuine Christians. So the good and wise command of modesty, it's for those of us that have already, and that is the vast majority of those of you in this room, placed their faith in Christ and received His gift of salvation. If I was having a conversation with you tonight and you were expressing maybe strong disagreement or even having a violent reaction to the fact that we were even going to be discussing modesty, I would be concerned that something more serious was going on in your heart. And I wouldn't try and convince you about modesty. I wouldn't even start to have a conversation with you about modesty. I'd want to talk to you about your heart. So I'd encourage you to ask yourself, if you find yourself in that place tonight where you don't even want to hear about this, this is not a topic you're interested in discussing, ask yourself, why would I react so strongly to something that was a clear command of God's word, something that brings such glory to Him? Why wouldn't I want to avoid at all cost doing something that brings dishonor to His name? Modesty is an important practice because God requires it of us. But I want you to know that I am not, and Scripture is not, more concerned about modesty and the way that you dress than it is about your soul. Scripture is not more concerned about modesty than it is about your soul. So let me encourage you, if you find yourself in that place tonight, talk to your mom. Begin a conversation. Maybe your mom and you can go together to your care group leader's wife. Begin a conversation about your heart. Why am I reacting so strongly to this topic? Why don't I even want to hear about this and consider pursuing what Scripture has to say? And ladies, the Lord will be gracious to meet you in that, for He promises to bless the humble. For those of you who do have a desire to dress modestly, and I want you to know I think that's the vast majority of you in this room, I understand this topic can be difficult. This topic can be confusing, I think, at times. But Scripture's given us all the wisdom that we need. Scripture has given us all the wisdom that we need. So the most important thing I want to do for you tonight is simply come alongside of you, draw your attention to Scripture, draw your attention to the wisdom of God revealed for our souls in His Word. Thank you, Lord, that You reveal Your wisdom in Your Word for our souls. Now, I can't improve upon the chapter on this topic that you've been reading in the Worldliness book, so I want to say up front, I am not even going to try. Much of what I share with you tonight is taken directly from that chapter. I also live with the guy who wrote the chapter, so that helps. My purpose, though, it's not simply to review the chapter with you, but I want to come alongside, elaborate on the chapter, help us actually apply the content to our lives more specifically. So if you have your Bible with you tonight, take it out. I want to take a look at the Scripture addressing this topic in 1 Timothy. So open with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 8, No, I'm sorry. We're going to start reading in verses 9 and 10. In verse 8, it's important to know that Paul is addressing the men. In verses 9 and 10, he turns his attention to the women. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "Likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works." Any biblical discussion about modesty begins by addressing the heart. If you're going to write one thing down tonight, write that down. Any biblical discussion of modesty begins by addressing our hearts. We cannot have any conversation on this topic without the heart as our starting place. And we see the heart on full display in this verse in 1 Timothy. Did you catch the phrase, with modesty and self-control? These two traits, modesty and self-control, they're expressions of the heart which inform what we wear. From page 120 of the Worldliness book, my dad provides us with definitions of these two words found in this passage. Listen as I read them to you. Modesty means propriety. It means avoiding clothing and adornment that are extravagant or sexually enticing. Modesty is humility expressed in dress. It's a desire to serve others, particularly men, by not promoting or provoking sensuality. Immodesty, then, is much more than wearing a short skirt or low-cut top. It's an act of drawing undue attention to yourself. It's pride on display by what you wear. Now the definition of self-control. Self-control is, in a word, restraint. Restraint for the purpose of purity. Restraint for the purpose of exalting God and not ourselves. Together, these attitudes of modesty and self-control should be the hallmark of the godly woman's dress. Modesty is humility expressed in dress. Do you see that? It's about the state of our hearts. What we wear is simply a reflection of what is found in our hearts already. And as do all scriptural commands, this command of modesty and self-control, it goes beyond externals. It goes beyond our shirts, our jeans. It goes right to the heart of why we wear what we wear. Because our clothes, whether we realize it or not, say something. They give us away. Our clothes reveal the heart behind what we're wearing. They make a loud statement about motive. And because a modest heart always comes before modest dress, it's important that the heart is our starting place when we're evaluating what we are to wear. Pastor John MacArthur, all the quotes I'm reading you tonight are found in that chapter. So don't worry if you're missing anything. Pastor John MacArthur puts it this way. How does a woman discern the sometimes fine line between proper dress and dressing to be the center of attention? The answer starts in the intent of the heart. A woman should examine her motives and goals for the way that she dresses. Is her intent to show the grace and beauty of womanhood? Is it to reveal a humble heart devoted to worshiping God? Or is it to call attention to herself and flaunt her beauty? Or worse, to attempt to allure men sexually? A woman who focuses on worshiping God will consider carefully how she is dressed because her heart will dictate her wardrobe and her appearance. It's our hearts that dictate our wardrobe and our appearance. Now, I want to briefly examine with you more carefully some of the heart motivations that can often be behind immodest dress. Because as my dad reminds us, there's an inseparable link between your heart and your clothes. The starting place cannot be our wardrobes. It must be our hearts. So what are some of the reasons that we're tempted to dress immodestly? I want to talk about three reasons, ever so briefly. First, for many of you here tonight, and I think this is the vast majority of you here tonight, you may simply be ignorant. Maybe you've honestly just never given modesty much thought. Maybe you haven't actually taken the time to really develop a biblical conviction when it comes to what you wear. You may be completely oblivious to the effect of your bodies on the hearts and minds of guys. When you go to the mall, you're just looking for something cute to wear. The jeans that you're wearing, it's just because everybody else is wearing them. But what we have to understand about ignorance is that really at the bottom of that is selfishness. Because we're only thinking about ourselves, what we might want to wear. We're not considering those around us. We're not considering the guys that are in the other side of this building. And most seriously of all, we're not considering Scripture and what the Lord would call us to when it comes to our clothes. That leads me to my second reason, which is selfishness. Selfishness can often be a reason we dress immodestly. It's not easy to be modest. We've talked about this already. It takes hard work. It takes effort. The options at the mall, at various stores, are very limited. Shopping can often take many more hours than we would like. How about when we discover something that would look really great on us, but it just isn't modest? I found myself in that position yesterday. In the dressing room, I was shopping, found something I really liked, and standing, this is me having a conversation with myself in the mirror. I'm always like stretching this was a shirt. So I'm always stretching it and turning and hoping that in the span of 30 seconds it will somehow become looser, not as tight fitting, never happens. But it's hard, isn't it? And yet we have to see the temptation to selfishness. In that moment in the dressing room, there was only one person I was thinking about, and that was me. This shirt looks good on me. I want this because of how it makes me feel. It's difficult. It was difficult yesterday to leave that piece of clothing on the rack, to leave that outfit in the store. My temptation to begin to complain, to give in to self-pity. It's all about me. I'm not getting what I want, the way that I want it, when I want it. This is taking too long. Me, me, me. When we exalt our own desires and our own preferences above God's word, we've constructed an idol. And the idol of me, in this instance. In a word, selfishness. And third, how about a desire to get attention or be noticed? Now, this is a very common temptation. I want people to think I'm trendy, that I'm with it when it comes to the way that I dress. My dad, commenting on our 1 Timothy verse, says, so the real issue wasn't actually braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire. The issue was, and still is, clothing that associates with the worldly and ungodly values. Clothes that say, look at me, and I'm with the world. Now, ladies, I have to be honest. I'm grieved to consider all of the times that I've wanted to purchase clothing to draw attention to myself. But really, I need to see that that is just another campaign for my own glory. Write that one down. Another campaign for my own glory. These are helpful categories to have when you go shopping. That little phrase in the chapter, let's take God to the Gap. What that means is we have got to bring these categories with us to the store. We've got a big job. The people of the world, they can go shopping. They can just choose whatever for whatever reason. They are not accountable to the Lord for their actions. Or I should say, they don't think they're accountable to the Lord for their actions. But we are well taught here, are we not? We are well taught here. And we need to take these categories. We need to take these cravings, the things that tempt us, and we need to take them shopping with us. When we're seeking to dress for others' attention, we are seeking to take the attention on ourselves that we should be directing to our Lord and Savior. More seriously, for a few of you here, there may even be a desire for lustful attention. If we were honest, sadly, all too often, we want to be beautiful to turn heads. One of our pastors once put it this way, guys lust and girls want to be lusted after. Hence the two topics we're considering tonight. We want to feel desirable. But we need to see this as a very serious form of pride. We're seeking the kind of attention that is actually forbidden in God's word. And we're not caring for or serving the guys in our lives in this church. There are a room full of young men sitting on the other side of this building right now that we are responsible to serve. Now, that does not negate their responsibility for their own sin. They are accountable to God for the sin of lust. That is their responsibility. But the Lord also calls us in our word to love them, to honor them. And one way we can do that is through the clothes that we wear. If you find yourself here tonight and you are desiring the attention of guys, you need to do that heart work. What is it that I want? Why do I want it? Let's commit to be a group of ladies that are serving the men in our midst in order to bring the Lord glory. Can we do that? Now, I thought it would be helpful for you this evening if we were able to hear from a living illustration. The story of a friend who, just like you and just like me, is daily fighting that seduction of this fallen world. Jenny Smith, wife of John Smith, who pastors the college ministry here at Covenant Life, did not always value modesty. Yet in humility, Jenny responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and she is a woman, and I have known her for many years now, she is a woman whose heart and closet have been transformed. So I've asked her to come and share her story with us tonight. Can we welcome Jenny as she comes to share? Oh, let me get you a mic.
Check, check.
Okay. Thanks, Jenny.
Well, when I first came to Covenant Life Church almost over 6 years ago, modesty was a completely foreign word to me. I viewed dressing modestly, honestly, as a frumpy, nerdy, out-of-date fashion. Having been a Christian for 6 years, like I said, I had never been made aware of how and in what ways Scripture addresses this issue. My nickname, even amongst my Christian friends, was termed scantily due to how I dressed. In choosing what to wear, I only thought of what would best serve me, what would bring the most attention my way, what would most flatter me in the world's terms, and what made me feel good, and what would best compare to what magazines, models, and what other women I saw were wearing. The desire rooted deep within my heart was a craving to be accepted and exalted. I enjoyed my attire, I enjoyed the undue attention I received, and the way it stimulated my feelings. My motives for the way I dressed were to promote self, not to promote Jesus Christ. And that is why I'm here. I want to share that the way we dress can please, honor, and point to Jesus. An individual graciously confronted me concerning my outward appearance. As they shared their concerns for me and listed even specific pieces of clothing that I had that drew attention to my body, I was sobered. Lord, is it pride that motivates the way I dress? Does what I wear actually cause my brothers to stumble? Do I bring reproach to your name? I immediately acknowledged my desperation before God and began to plead for his mercy and his grace to reveal the sin that was within my heart and the help to assist me to change. So I began to study God's word. I began to read material addressing this issue and listening to CJ's teaching on the soul of modesty. By the grace of God, there wasn't resistance in my heart to change. There wasn't resistance in my heart, only a passion to change. God illuminated the simple fact that it is my heart that dictates my appearance and my wardrobe, as Janelle has been telling us. I was faced with the question, what statement do my clothes make concerning my heart? My prideful and selfish ambition to exalt self was made very, very clear. I began to finally understand the heart and soul of modesty. As Janelle said, modesty is humility expressed in dress, a desire to serve others, neither promoting nor provoking sensuality or lust. It is rooted in a desire to lose any and all consideration for self and live hidden behind the cross of Christ. I became more and more aware that my dress was not an outward expression of the gospel nor humility. I began by aggressively examining my wardrobe. My husband, John, and I spent a very lengthy period of time examining every single piece of clothing in my closet and prayerfully considering which ones were inappropriate. By the end of the examination, my wardrobe had considerably diminished. To be honest, it was not easy. Afterwards, there were many, many mornings I remember waking and struggling, picking out my outfit for the day, being dissatisfied with my limited wardrobe. In those moments of temptation, it was crucial for me, I remember, to question my motives morning after morning. helping me to see that what is most attractive is my desire to please God and not my outward appearance or my outfit. To this day, 6 years later, this is something I have to fight with daily, to flee the worldly desires and pursue godliness in this area. It has helped me in the past to have practical tools as well as reminders to help me with this fight. I remember at one point I had the modesty checklist printed in the inside of my vanity to serve as a reminder every morning before I left the house. I remember shortly after going through my outfit, I also quickly identified specific areas where I was uniquely tempted in this area and then spent time purposing to see how I would change in this area. And when I do purchase clothing, I always make sure to show my husband, John, and get his opinion to make sure that he thinks they are modest, and I'm not trusting my own heart. Dressing modestly blesses my husband because it is a way that I can save myself and my body for him and him alone. And it also serves the other men around me by helping them to guard their hearts against this temptation for lust. By pursuing modesty in spirit as well in dress, I can bring glory to God and to further the gospel. If any of you are tempted tonight to think that this sacrifice is too big or that the standards are set too high, let me encourage you with this. Dressing modestly is not just another to-do of the Christian faith. Rather, it is an awesome way that we can make much of Jesus Christ in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "Christ died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised from the dead." You and I exist to make much of Jesus with our lives. Because of his death and his life, we can do that. That is such a privilege and such a joy. Thanks. Get to sleep.
Notice where the conviction began in Jenny's life. Conviction began in her heart. Jenny identified what she was craving. A desire for attention, acceptance, the promotion of self. I saw my own heart in Jenny's words. Would you consider these questions with me for a moment to evaluate your heart? What does your wardrobe say about your heart? What does your wardrobe say about your heart? About your relationship with your Savior? What would we discover about your heart if we met your closet before we met you? What motivates the way that you dress? Have you been ignorant? Perhaps unaware? This is new for you tonight? Could it be selfishness, craving for approval, a desire for attention, or even lust? Take time to examine your heart and discover what desires motivate your dress. Because as we said earlier, each and every biblical conversation about modesty must begin there. It must begin with the heart. And the good news tonight, ladies, is that where we find sin, there is a God ready and gracious to forgive us of that sin. And that's the most important thing I want to do for you tonight. And that's leave you with the power of modesty. You see, our clothing can be an evidence that the gospel has changed our hearts and lives. Puts a different perspective on getting dressed in the morning, doesn't it? Our clothing can be an evidence that the gospel has changed our hearts and our lives. We have an opportunity each and every day to proclaim God's glory through what we wear. To proclaim God's glory to a watching world that needs him. When we look at the broader context of our 1 Timothy verse, we actually find that it is set in the context of the gospel. Back up to verses 3 through 6, it says, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. On page 138 of the book, my dad comments on this verse saying, we have a gospel mission. We have a gospel mission, not only to preach Christ, but to live in a way consistent with our profession of faith. As women, you can actually detract from the gospel mission by dressing immodestly. Or you can enhance the gospel mission by dressing in a way that reflects the transforming power of the gospel at work in you. The humble woman, the modest woman, is concerned about the lost, and her dress reflects that concern. We have a gospel mission here tonight. We are called to live and dress in a manner that is worthy of Christ our King. So ladies, let us resolve tonight. Lord, help me resolve tonight to have no contradiction between the clothes that we wear and the gospel that we represent. Would you please pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom found in your word, that we are not left to wonder. Thank you, Lord, for each mother and daughter represented here. I pray, Lord, as we continue on in our evening, that you would continue to do a work in each of our hearts. Continue to speak to each of us here. We thank you for Jenny, for her testimony. We thank you for living examples of what we are learning here tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us to have no contradiction in the clothes that we wear and the gospel that we represent. Amen. Amen. It's good stuff. It gets me so excited.